Well, ladies, thank you very, very much for that. For years, my wife sang that song before I preached, and I appreciate that so very, very much. Hearing that song again, it certainly brought back memories to us, and we appreciate that very much. Thank you for being here this morning and braving the ice out there. I could see that there was some of that, and we're glad that you're with us. It is good to have the group from Nova Scotia, from Moncton, Nova Scotia. Brother Boss, assistant pastor there at Grace Baptist Church, right? And he is an answer to our prayers. You say, well, how is that? Well, when we moved back to Canada in 2001, we built a house, and we put an apartment in our basement so that we could travel and we'd have the house there, and we just didn't want it to sit empty with no one there as much as we were on the road. And so we built an apartment so that school teachers could live downstairs. We had two young ladies who taught in our Christian school that lived there, and so we began praying for husbands. And thankfully, all three of them are now married, and he was the first of the three to get one of those girls. And so he is certainly an answer to our prayers, but we're glad they're here, and I'm sure they're glad to be here. When you take a look at the picture he has of his house, you can only see the roof line. The Maritimes has been killed with snow. The storms have gone up the East Coast and buried them up there on the East Coast. Thankfully, we didn't get a lot of it. Normally we do. Where we live, we got cold weather, which froze the Great Lakes, and we didn't get the lake effect snow that came off there. Two Sundays ago at home, and where we live in Barrie, Ontario, the temperature was 27 below zero with the wind chill of 43 below zero. No, we didn't cancel church. No, we didn't do that. And I was watching a little bit this morning and seeing churches that were canceled. I said, honey, did we ever cancel church in Pickle Lake? No, we never did. I mean, you know, it was like 3 weeks of 30 below zero. And, you know, no, we bunch of wimps. Good night. Thank you. Okay, I got it over there with those guys. But it is good to be here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Boy, I'm so pleased to see the number of you that have been here every night and in the services, and again today. Thank you for coming. I encourage you to be here tonight. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. And, you know, it's wonderful when you see how the Lord puts things together. Brother Tran's Sunday School lesson absolutely fits like a glove with what I'm going to be talking about this morning, preaching about. And then the entire song service just fits right in with the message that I'm preaching this morning, which is entitled, Occupy Till I Come. Occupy Till I Come. I'm going to begin reading in Luke 19, beginning at verse 11, read down through verse 27. And you will notice, after the first few words of verse 11, everything else, if you have a red-letter edition, is in red. That means it's the words of the Lord Jesus. That's important, all right? So as I begin reading, you please follow along as I read Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was not in Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, beginning in verse 12, this begins red letter, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. It came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over ten cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath shall be given, from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. Those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus who so clearly taught in his word what he expects out of us. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have put this service together today, and it's certainly not by accident. And Father, we are gathered here by divine appointment, each one of us. Those who are in this auditorium, this sanctuary this morning, will never meet again like this. Someone will be added, someone will be missing. And Lord, I believe that you have brought us together to hear from you. And I pray, Lord, you'll use the word of God in each of our hearts. Lord, if there are those here this morning, if they were honest with themselves and honest with you, they do not have assurance of heaven. They have never surrendered their heart to the Lord Jesus, never been saved, never trusted the blood of Christ to forgive their sins. Lord, I pray you'd help them to see how vital it is that they trust Christ today. Lord, for most of us here, we've trusted the Lord Jesus. That's why we're here. We're here because we want to hear from you. We want to be in church. And Father, I pray that each of us would realize just exactly what's going to take place when we meet with you regarding our faithfulness, as Brother Tran talked about in Sunday school. Lord, may this morning we let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts, convict us of sin, draw us to you, help us to grow and change, to become more like Christ today. Help us, Lord, to reach a world with the gospel through every avenue that we have. We pray, Lord, that you'll meet with us in a unique way. We realize that this may be the very last time we meet together, that the Lord Jesus may be coming right now to get us. What a wonderful thing that would be. In Christ's name, amen. This pastor scripture, the Lord Jesus is just getting ready to go into Jerusalem for the very last time. The next Sunday is Palm Sunday. The day we celebrate is Palm Sunday. If you look at verse 28 of this pastor scripture, you'll see that triumphal entry going into Jerusalem. So prior to going into Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus is trying to show his disciples or to get them to understand that he's going to be crucified and that he's going to be buried and raised again the third day. And they don't seem to get this. Notice what it says in verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable for two reasons. One, he was not in Jerusalem. And two, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They didn't get it. Now, how did they get this? How did they think that? Well, go back with me to chapter 18 and look at verse 31. So prior to chapter 19, in chapter 18, verse 31, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Now, these 12 men knew the Old Testament. They knew what that meant. They knew that one day Jesus Christ was going to set up his kingdom. They were going to get rid of the Romans, and they were going to rule the world. They knew that. And because of that, when Jesus said that, they stopped listening to him. They had to. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, he shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day shall rise again. Now, look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. Well, that's pretty easy to understand. How come they didn't get it? It's like our kids. You know, Mom, when you get up in the morning and you say to your children, I'm going to take you to the park this afternoon. Now, in order to go to the park, you have to have your room cleaned by lunchtime. While you're talking about cleaning the room, they're thinking about the park. They're thinking, oh boy, I'm going to go to the park. Maybe Joey will be there. I'll play with him. We'll get on the swing. We're going to have a great time in the park. They didn't hear that thing about the room being clean. Noon comes. You get your children at lunch at the table, and you say, okay, let me go check the rooms. What do you mean, check the rooms? We didn't understand that. They were thinking about the park. When Jesus said to them in verse 31, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, they stopped listening to him. They started, oh boy, we're going to run the Romans out of town. I'm going to sit on his left hand and I'm going to sit on his right hand. We're going to be in charge. Boy, this is going to be a great thing. And all the time he's telling them, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. They didn't get it. So we get down into chapter 19, verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was not in Jerusalem. The last time he's going in, he's going in to be crucified. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. That's what they thought they were going to do. Go in and take over, and they were going to set up the kingdom. That's not what was going to happen. So Jesus, beginning in verse 12, gives them a parable about what's going to happen. And it's in red letter. That means these are the words of the Lord Jesus. And I can guarantee you, he has never told us one thing that isn't going to come to pass. You agree with me on that? So what we find here in this passage of Scripture is going to happen. It's going to happen. You can walk out that door this morning and say, well, I really don't think it's going to happen now. It's going to happen. Now let's find out what this story says. Look at verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now let me ask you a question. Who do you think this nobleman is that he's talking about? He's talking about himself. He's the nobleman. We know that as we look back. He's the nobleman that's going to go into a far country. What's that far country? He has gone to heaven. And he's going to receive for himself a kingdom. That's what we are living in right now, called the church age. We're living in this period of time where the Lord Jesus is in heaven. And he's going to receive a kingdom and he's going to come back. And I'm telling you, I think he's coming soon. I haven't ever said this from a pulpit. So if you say I said it, I'll deny it. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure America will survive 2 years. I believe, this is my personal opinion, it's not in the Bible, okay? I believe that America has become so weak that the nations in the Middle East will do what they need to do before we get a new president. And if that happens, I'm out of here. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, I told you so on the way up. I think he's coming soon. I mean, every time I see something in the news about this Iran getting a nuclear bomb, I say, yeah, oh boy, that's going to be good. I hope they get it. I hope they get it. Because God's not going to let them attack Israel. He's not going to do it. Okay? Let them have it. Maybe they're going to let us have it. I don't know. But we're going to be out of here. He's coming, and he's coming soon. I mean, he's just about got it all together. And the days you are living in, or that we are living in, these are so exciting days. I don't plan on dying from cancer. I believe the Lord's coming. I think he's coming soon. He said so right there. He's receiving for himself a kingdom, and he's going to return. Now, the kingdom are the souls of men and women. Now, I think if I have to pick a day, I mean, you know, I know we're Baptists and we don't gamble and all that, but if I were to bet on a day that Jesus was coming back, I'd pick Sunday. You know why? More people get saved on a Sunday than any other day of the week. And one day, the last person that ever gets saved is going to get saved, and when they get saved, we're out of here. We're going to be out of here. And I think it's Sunday. Let me prove it to you. How many here, if you know the day you were saved, how many were saved on a Monday? Hold your hand up. Monday? Boy, that was a bad day around here, wasn't it? How about Tuesday? Tuesday, okay. Wednesday, okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, watch this. Sunday. There you go. Every time it's that way. Hey, I mean, and you know what today is? Sunday. So pack your bags. It may be today. He's coming back. We're living in this church age. The nobleman has gone away, receiving for himself a kingdom, and he's coming back, and it may be today. It's like I told the kids over at the college. We live as though and plan as though he's coming back today, but we work as though it's going to be a long time. Okay? I mean, you kids have come. Prepare. You don't have to go out and plant a church right now. You get what God wants you to have, and then in God's time, you'll do that if he tarries his coming. If he doesn't, it's not going to make any difference anyway. Just to be doing what God wants you to do. So, first of all, we see the church age. Look at verse 13 and notice his commission. Look what he says in verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, just before this nobleman goes away, he gathers his 10 servants. Now, these 10 servants, who do you think they represent? They represent those of us that are saved. If you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's been a time and place in your life where you surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ and trusted his shed blood to wash away your sins, and he did that. You became, at that moment, a servant. And every one of us who've done that, we're his servants. And he says to his servants, look, I'm going to give you 10 pounds. You say, preacher, he's given some of us a few more than 10. I'm not talking about that kind of pounds, okay? That's not what that means. If you look over in verse 15, it'll tell you what it means. It says, he commanded these servants to be called to whom he had given the money. Now, this pound, I believe, represents more than money. I'm not going to talk about money this morning. I believe it represents our treasure, but I also believe it represents our talent and our time. It represents everything about us since the moment we've been saved. We became a servant, and he said, look, I'm going to give you some treasure, some talent, and some time, and I want you to occupy till I come. You'd say, preacher, I've been doing that, man. I've been coming to this church a long time. Brother Smith, I bet Brother Smith's been sitting back there in that seat for, is that your seat? Or you sit there every night. He says, I'm just going to occupy this till he comes. That's not what it's talking about. It doesn't mean occupy to take up space. We get our word occupation from that word. It means work till he comes. The songs we sang this morning, the choir special, it all fits right into this. Jesus said, look, I'm going to give you some time, some talent, and some treasure, and I am giving you a commission to work for me till I come back. I think that's fair on that verse of Scripture. I'm not reading anything into this. Look at the next verse, verse 14. The Bible says, and notice his citizens. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now the fact is, there are those who are citizens and not servants, who have never trusted Christ as their Savior. There may be some sitting here this morning. Maybe nobody knows about it, but you and God. And you've said, you know, I think I can get to heaven on my own. I think I can live a good enough life. I don't need to trust Christ. My membership at Maranatha is good enough to get me to heaven. I don't need to do that. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to have him reign over me. I've been there. I was there before I got saved. Before I trusted Christ, I can clearly remember how many nights I laid on the bed and said, I don't need that. I'm going to be okay. I can do this. I'm just not going to surrender to him. I'll make it on my own. You may be a teenager, you may be a young person, you may be an older person. I don't care who you are. And down in the depths of your soul, you know that there's never been a moment in your life where you sincerely surrendered your life and heart to the Lord Jesus and said, I am going to trust you and you alone for my salvation. until we come to that place, we're a citizen, not a servant. Got to come to that place. Every one of us. For me, it was in a church service in Mount Tabor Baptist Church in Beckley, West Virginia, where I grew up. I don't know where it was for you, but I can go back and plant my feet, stand in the very spot where my sins were washed away by the blood of Christ, where I surrendered to Him and said, all right, I give in to You. And I'll trust You as my Savior. At that moment, He took my sins away and he made me His servant. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, you've never come to that place where you know, in the honesty of your heart, you've been willing to just surrender, just sit back and relax, take a little nap, because until I get to the end of this message, the rest of this is for those of us who are servants. All right? Okay, please look at verse 15 down through verse 23. Notice His coming. The Bible says in verse 15, it came to pass when He was returned, having received the kingdom, then He commanded these servants to be called, to whom He had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. We see that the Lord Jesus is definitely coming again. He's told us that He will. He's going to come. And when He comes back, He's going to take an account of how we handled what He has given us. It is required in stewards, as Brother Tran said in Sunday school, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's a requirement of the steward, of the servant. That's the requirement. This is about faithfulness. Faithfulness with our time, faithfulness with our treasure, faithfulness with our talent. Are we faithful? Have I done what I can do? When Jesus Christ comes back, we as believers are going to be taken off this earth. We're going to be taken to heaven. And on earth there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. During that 7-year tribulation, we're going to be in heaven, and the events that are found that Jesus Christ Himself spoke of are going to take place. And each one of us, I don't know how this is going to come about. I there's no way of me being able to explain it to you. I don't think our finite minds can comprehend it. But this is what the Lord Jesus has given us. Every one of us are going to be called. And He is going, now notice what it says, He commanded these servants to be called to whom He had given the money that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Did you get that? Every man's given some a talent, given some time, given some treasure. And the Lord Jesus expects us to take that and use it for Him and see what happens. That's what life is all about as a Christian. This first servant is called, and he comes and he says, Lord, I've only got 10 pounds. Now, he didn't go from 1 pound to 10 pounds like that. I'll tell you how he got there. He had this 1 pound and he said, okay, you know what? I'm going to use this for God and be faithful with it. And the Lord gave him 2.5 pounds or something. And he said, you know what, I'm going to take that and use it for God. And the Lord gave him 5 pounds. And he said, you know, I'm going to take this and use it for God. And the Lord gave him 7 pounds or 6.5. And he said, I'm going to use this for God. And he gave him 8. And he used that for God. And at the end of his life, his 1 pound, he had traded it for 10 pounds. Now, whenever you trade something, you take a risk. I've made some bad trades in my life. You know, when I was a kid, I have a policy now. You don't sell a gun. Once you get a gun, you don't sell a gun. The reason is because when I was little, I got taken advantage of by some of my people that worked for my dad. And I said, no more. You know, that was a bad trade. But when you trade, you're taking a risk. And this servant decided to take what he had and give it to the Lord and see what God would do with it. The end of his life, he had 10 pounds. Now notice what it says about this servant, please. The first came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You say, Brother Chesup, what's that mean? Well, at the end of this 7-year tribulation period on the earth, Jesus Christ is coming back to do what the disciples thought he was going to do immediately, and that set up his kingdom. When he comes back, we're coming with him. And we're going to have authority on this earth. Cancer will be solved. I won't have to worry about it then. All of the Middle East problems are going to be solved. All the racial problems are going to be solved because Jesus Christ is going to reign on this earth, on the entire earth, and we're going to reign with him. And this servant is given some authority over 10 cities. I don't know whether that... I don't know how many cities there are in the world. I don't know. Okay, I'm just telling you, I don't know. But this servant's... And look, I tell you what, I like authority. You guys like... You like to be in charge, right? Yeah. Well, you better be faithful, because one day you're going to be in charge of something if you are. That's what he said. This servant comes back, and he's given authority over 10 cities. I don't know when it's mayor or what it will be. But under the leadership of the Lord Jesus, this servant is going to come back and rule with the nobleman. Now please look at the second servant. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Now you say, well, this servant must not have been as faithful as the first. No, I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that's the case at all. But the reason I don't believe that is because it says, and he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So the Lord said to him the same thing he said to the first, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 5 cities. This was a faithful servant. It may be that he didn't have the same abilities that the first servant had. It may be he didn't live as long as the first servant did. I mean, I think of a missionary couple years ago who died in a plane crash in Nepal. Our mayor from Winnipeg, his son was killed in the same crash. They didn't have a long time to serve, but they were faithful. I think of students up at Faithway coming home from work after a night of work, and the driver, I guess he was a little tired, and the truck hit them and severed the driver from everyone else. They were all killed immediately. And in the news reports, they talked about the Bibles and the tracts that they found there. They were faithful. But they didn't have a full life to live. Maybe it's someone who's saved later in life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ and you're up in years. Look, you can be saved and you can be faithful with what you have. What God has given you. And he will say to you, well, thou good servant. Well, thou good servant. So it wasn't a matter of quantity. It's a matter of quality. It's a matter of being faithful with who we are and what we've got. This servant comes and says, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he was put over 5 cities. Notice the third servant. 3 servants are chosen here in this story, this parable. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. This third servant comes and says, Lord, here's your pound you gave me when I got saved. Here's your pound. Just to let you know, I was kind of afraid to fill out that faith promise card. Look, we were in tough times there in America during that time. Man, I tell you what, the economy was bad and things were not looking good. And I'm sure you understand. No, he doesn't understand. Lord, I'm sure you understand about Sunday evening. I mean, Grandma expects us to come over and have lunch every Sunday. It's just hard to get. I'm sure you understand. No, he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand. He expects us to be faithful with our time and our talent and our treasure. This servant comes and says, look, I was just afraid. I know you're an austere man. And I know you expect a return, but I just was afraid to teach Sunday school. I was afraid to go out on Saturday morning. And I mean, look, Saturday's my only day off. Go soul winning with the pastor? Yeah, you know, no, I couldn't get, go down in the ghettos and reach those kids with a bus? Look, that's just not us, you know? We're sort of a upper middle class type church. No, he doesn't understand. Look what he said. Verse 22, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. I believe the three words that are the most difficult words of this passage. Thou wicked servant. Do you get that? I don't know. I in my mind, I can't visualize what could take place in this scene. But can you imagine the Lord sitting on his throne, the judgment seat of Christ, and this servant coming? And by the way, there'll be servants like this. He said there would be. The Lord Jesus saying, what? You couldn't go to church on Sunday? You couldn't teach Sunday school? You couldn't give? I mean, you have so much. You had so much down there on earth. And I gave you that. I don't understand. I mean, I went to the cross and I died for your sins. My heavenly Father forsook me for you. And you trusted me as your Savior. I forgave your sins and you couldn't live for me? I don't get it. I don't understand. How could you do that? Come here. Take from him the pound and give it to the guy that has 10 pounds. You say, Brother Jessup, what happens to that servant? I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't know. Somebody from the college, you students, you've already got all this figured out. You probably know, but I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said, well, Lord, he's already got 10 pounds. God rewards faithfulness. My personal belief is that for 1,000 years, this servant does not reign. That's my personal belief. Some of you can help me on that and maybe either show me scripture to prove or disprove that. But there isn't anything that says this servant. He is saved. His sins are forgiven. He's going to be in heaven for eternity. And it may be his tears that are wiped away. I don't know. But I do know this. I don't want it to be me or anybody that I know. Because Jesus said this, and it's going to come true. I guarantee you it's going to come true. I wish I could tell you something different, but I can't. Notice the conclusion, verse 27. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, listen up. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Now this goes back to verse 14. Verse 14 says, we will not have this man to reign over us. These are the same persons. You say, Brother Jessup, I'm not his enemy. I didn't call you his enemy. He did. That wasn't my word. That's his word. He said, bring hither and slay them before me. Following this 1,000-year reign with the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, there is going to be a second judgment called the Great White Throne. Turn with me, please, to Revelation, if you would, chapter 20. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I don't even need that commentary. If you're here, and you have said, "I'm going to do it on my own. I'm not going to trust Him and Him alone as my Savior," this is your fate. And it could be your fate. Your fate could be sealed today. It could be sealed today. Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And for eternity, you will spend away from God, separate from God, in hell, the lake of fire, forever. For eternity. So, Brother Jessup, just how long is eternity? I don't know. I don't think our finite minds can comprehend that. But let me try to help you a little bit. Let's say we took all the sand of all the deserts, we've seen plenty of those with all that's going on in the world, all the deserts and all the beaches, and we made one huge pile of sand. And we took a little bird, a sparrow, and we had that sparrow pick up one grain of sand and fly around the equator 25,000 miles. I don't know what that is in kilometers for the Canadians. And then he picks up a second grain of sand, flies around the equator. Now, I believe it took 6 days for an airplane to make it nonstop at about 600 kilometers an hour. I don't remember exactly. And then the bird picks up a third grain of sand and flies around the equator, and a fourth grain of sand. When all the sand is gone, eternity has just started. Is it worth walking out that door and not making sure you're saved this morning? It absolutely is not. It's not worth it. Well, you say, "Brother Jessup, I kind of think I've got plenty of time." On September the 11th, 2002, 1 year after 9/11, USA had a series of articles that week in their paper, and one of those articles, September the 11th, 2002, this article was in the paper. It was entitled, "Delay Meant Death." We know the story. The North Tower was hit 16 and a half minutes. The second tower was hit. The story is told of two ladies who stood at the 73rd floor of the second tower making a decision as to whether they were to leave the building. They were told it was safe to stay in the building. Nobody knew the second airplane was coming. These two ladies made two different decisions. One decided to get on the express elevator to the ground floor and leave the building. The other decided to go back to her office on the 83rd floor and get the pictures of her children. In the length of time of her going back to the 83rd floor, that second airplane hit between, I believe it was the 73rd or 76th floor at an angle, and only one person on that floor and up survived. That person had the door, fire door open on the far side of the building, and when the airplane hit, the concussion threw that person into the stairwell and the door closed. And that person survived. Everybody else died. That article, this statement was made. Some, for whatever reason, hesitated and were lost. Some, for whatever reason, hesitated and were lost. Is it worth this morning, as we give the invitation in just a moment, to hesitate? Number one, be lost. Or number two, not deal with your pound. Because for those of us who are saved, within the next 16 and a half minutes, Jesus may come and He will be asking us, "What did you do with your pound?" And we'll have to answer that question. Wouldn't it be far better as believers as the Holy Spirit has dealt with us this morning, to do what He wants us to do. Because you don't know what this day is going to bring forth. September the 22nd, 2004, I got up in the morning. We're excited about the kids coming home for Christmas. I'm sure Brother Boss remembers this. I called what I thought would be my daughter-in-law in Denver. My son was home. He answered the phone. I said, "Jay, what are you doing home?" He said, "Well, Ethan's wasn't breathing real good. We decided to take him to the doctor this morning before we come." "So you're still going to be able to come?" "Oh, yeah, we're coming. Coming tomorrow." "It's great." I don't know, it's about noon. I called and they said, "Dad," or they'd called us and said, "Dad, they've taken Ethan to the hospital." Shortly after, they'd put him in intensive care. 5 o'clock that afternoon, my 15-month-old grandson went to heaven. For a long, long time, when I'd get up in the mornings, I'd say, "I don't know what this day's going to bring." You walk out that door, you have absolutely no guarantee of seeing the sun go down. We better do what God wants us to do today, because what He said is going to come to pass. Let's bow for prayer. In a moment, I'm getting ready to pray, and we're not going to sing this morning, right, yet. Maybe Pastor will do that later, but we're just going to have the instruments play. Stand with our heads bowed after I pray. And just let God work in our hearts. For some of us, we need to ask ourselves our question, how am I doing with my pound? Because I guarantee you it's going to be asked one day. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, Pastor will be here at the front. Look, please, please do not leave without being saved. Please do not leave. We have someone who can help you. You're in the best place you can possibly be to trust Christ as your Savior. Because what He said is going to happen. And it may start in the next 16 and a half minutes. Father, I pray You'll bless this invitation. Speak to hearts, Lord. I believe You have. You've spoken to mine again. Lord, help us to be faithful with our pound. Lord, if someone's here unsaved this morning, help them to come. Help them to throw themselves at Your feet and trust Christ as Savior. Work now in hearts, in Jesus' name. Let's quietly stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, please.